Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
And we heard earlier about the major shortcomings identified in the country's maternity services. A report by the state's health watchdog found that 15 of the state's 19 maternity units are operating in substandard physical environments that increase the risk of infection, and frontline medical staff are working onerous rosters that are unsustainable, and there are inadequate medical and midwifery staffing levels highlighted also. I'm joined by Professor Shane Higgins. He's the master of the National Maternity Hospital, Hollow Street. Good evening to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Mary.
What is your reaction to this report from HICWA in relation to your own hospital and to maternity services generally?
Well, I suppose the first thing to say is that we need to take a pragmatic approach to the report. And one of the statements that they made overall, and remember, this HICWA report is specifically on preparedness of the maternity units for dealing with obstetric emergencies and nothing else. And they found that overall there were high levels of compliance in how maternity services detected and responded to obstetric emergencies on a 24/7 basis. So I think that augurs well for our maternity service. For fear of instilling any fear at all in patients, I don't think that's the case, or that should be the case. What the report showed, and specifically with relation, for example, to our hospital, was that apart from being non-compliant from an infrastructural perspective, we are absolutely prepared to deal with obstetric emergencies on a 24/7 basis. And they found that with most of the 19 maternity hospitals throughout the country. There were failings, there were shortcomings, and there will always be learnings. We will always be continually trying to strive for perfection.
Yes, there are failings, and I accept what you're saying about responses to obstetric care and to emergency care and so on. But we also heard from people earlier about the dignity of the women coming into these hospitals to have their babies, the surroundings that they are forced to have their babies in, the lack of through no fault of their own, for your staff and staff in other maternity hospitals, the lack of perhaps adequate training and upgrading and continuous training, and the staffing numbers as well, all issues that must be of concern to you.
Oh, absolutely, Mary. And you've listed an entire set of issues that we all have to deal with on a daily basis, but let's take them one by one. There isn't an obstetrician in the country who won't consider that their infrastructure has deficits. And in fact, that's the reason why the National Maternity Hospital is moving to St. Vincent's University. The hospital itself is well over 100 years old. It's well beyond capacity at this stage, as are most of the other units in the country. So capital investment in maternity units is essential. And we're starting to see that. Our works are being done on the St. Vincent's campus site already with the car park and the pharmacy, to facilitate the move out there in a number of years' time.
You must be creaking at the seams. Fergal Malone earlier talking about in his hospital, 44 women sharing two toilets.
Yes, I heard Fergal this morning. I suppose this comes down to the dignity of the patient. And yes, there are absolutely issues. And a lot of the complaints we hear from our patients here at the National Maternity Hospital are about dignity and privacy and respect. And these are things that we can't change because of the infrastructure. But it's through no fault of the staff that these issues arise. So, yeah, we have issues, just as Fergal has described also, with our infrastructure.
These issues around training.
Yes, CTG interpretation.
Yes.
Well, I've been doing obstetrics and gynaecology for 30 years. I'm still learning on interpretation of CTGs, and that's down to the individual units. Every week in this hospital, we have a CTG meeting where senior clinicians will sit with junior doctors, will sit with junior midwives, and we learn from CTGs that have been taken on patients during the course of the week. That's a continual learning process, and it's up to each individual unit to undertake that.
It would appear, just reading some of the report, that because of onerous rosters and because of a need to keep people presumably at their jobs, that they're not getting released for maybe necessary upskilling that they should be doing?
Well, there are opportunities for people to be upskilled and for continuous learning. I mean, it's part of our requirement as obstetricians in this country to be enrolled in a continuous professional development programme.
Sure.
So I'm speaking specifically from our professional.
And do you know, I mean, you've told us what happens in your hospital, but do you know if CTG training happens, or these meetings happen in every hospital, that they are, if you like, a compulsory part of hospital training and upskilling?
I honestly can't comment on other institutions. And certainly in the hospitals that I've worked in, whether it's here in Ireland or abroad, it's been part and parcel of the weekly timetable is to have a CTG meeting. It's the one area where, unless you're sitting in front of a CTG, unless you're sitting in front of a computer screen, then you can't have this ongoing learning. So in every hospital I've worked in, I've either been part of or been part of the audience of CTG meetings where there is this ongoing learning. So I would assume, I mean,
It should be happening.
And there's no reason why it can't happen.
Okay. Your move to St. Vincent's, where is it at this stage? Because we hear different reports about what is happening or what is not happening. To the first issue, have you heard from Rome? Has the Vatican signed off on the release of this site from St. Vincent's?
Well, personally, I haven't heard anything from Rome. And to be honest with you, I think an awful lot has been made of this. There is a huge amount of work still ongoing with regard to this move. As far as the people on the ground, whether they're here, St. Vincent's, HSC Estates, or the Department of Health, the move is happening. We've been through 6 years of design on board Planola, interim works on the St. Vincent site, so that there is work ongoing as we speak. There is about a dozen meetings a week in this hospital from various groups involved in the project who are moving things along. And so, yes, we are anticipating, expecting, and planning the move as is being proposed.
And at this stage in the day, do you have a timeline now?
We are still probably from cutting a ribbon, we are probably 5 to 6 years away.
And, so 2025, 2026.
Yeah, and just to explain why that's the case, I mean, if you know the St. Vincent campus, there are some low-level buildings, and those low-level buildings have to be knocked to allow the maternity hospital to be built. So that all the activity that takes place in those buildings has to be moved elsewhere before we can actually start the definitive build. So it's not something that can happen overnight. But as I said, we've been working on this very, very much for the last 6.5 years since James Riley announced it in May 2013.
I suppose we're all a bit scarred from what has emerged around the National Children's Hospital. Is the money fully signed off for the Holles Street build and the move to St. Vincent's?
Well, the entire sum of money hasn't been signed off, but it is part of the government's capital development plan. We've been assured that the funding is there for it. We are extremely, I suppose, involved or close to the involvement in terms of the capital cost of this project. And it's been run by HSE Estates in a manner in which there is very close scrutiny of the costs as they are occurring. Mm. So I don't think we're looking at a similar issue to what arose at the National Paediatric Hospital or National Children's Hospital.
Okay, you would hope that. To just one final issue maybe being discussed as well this morning among us obstetricians and others.
Sure.
We have 19 maternity units. A talk of reconfiguring of maternity units. Is that something you'd support?
Well, I suppose it depends on what you mean by the word reconfiguring. And to be honest with you, that can mean many things to many people. If you're talking about amalgamating units or if you're talking about closing units, you've got to consider what's going to happen to that patient cohort. You already referenced the fact that most of the maternity units are bursting at the seams. So to close units and expect those patients to be subsumed into the other units surrounding them, it's not possible. This is where the capital investment in maternity services is required. So at the moment, the answer to your question is it's not possible to consider a reconfiguration if reconfiguring means closing.
Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, thanks for speaking to us this evening.